If it smells like shit, you are in the right place. You are listening to The Prodwackers, hosted by David and Craig. Enjoy.
We'll be talking about the vagina.
Slops everywhere.
And we will definitely be spending a lot of time talking about masturbation.
Slops everywhere.
Hey, welcome to the Podwhackers, Thursday edition. What's going on, man?
Oh, it's a beautiful Thursday morning.
Oh, yeah. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at 5:20 a.m. Ready
That's
to
right.
rock. Yeah, I had a hell of a time getting up today. I don't know about you.
I was up plenty early, but I was reading through our agenda and we were going to attempt to do a FaceTime call to change up things a little bit because we were getting a little bit of feedback off of our other platform. But hey, we're back, so there might be a little bit of robot voice, but that's all right.
Yeah, I think there's got to be a way too where we can separate our audio out, so like we just get each other's mics and then splice that together at the end. Because right now we just splice together a single feed of our phone call recording over the internet. So it'd be way nicer if we isolate our audio. Like I record my mic, you record your mic, and then we sync them up at the end, you know. Because then you get that direct good quality audio that's recorded straight to your computer instead of anything that goes out over the internet. And then you have a backup of the Hangouts or Skype or whatever we end up using.
Right. Oh, well, it works.
Yeah, I think it sounds pretty good most of the time, except for when it does go into robot mode.
Yeah, it's our own unique twist, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
I haven't heard any complaints, though. I did find out last night. I was texting back and forth with my buddy who lives in California and works at Google. He's like, I can't believe you guys highlighted George's Lounge in Canton on one of your podcasts. I'm like, why not, dude? It's the greatest place ever.
Oh, well, he doesn't like George's?
Well, he likes George's, but he said it's turned into a hipster joint. He said he used to go there before they cooked food and would serve beer to underage minors. that's alleged. We still love George's and we don't want to get anybody in trouble, but that's what he just said. So,
oh, I don't give a shit, man. I'm there for the food.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, the food's delicious. I don't care who's sitting next to me, hipster douchebag sitting across the way. I was in there for First Friday and holy shit, dude, there was not a place to sit and it was just packed, but man, it was delicious. Oh, I love that place. That's probably my favorite restaurant. Hands down. I don't know, that and the sushi joint I go to is pretty good.
Yeah. I don't want to go eat dinner too early the night of the Foo Fighters, but I would love to go there, have dinner, and then shoot up to the venue, but I think that's too far away.
That's what I was thinking. It's also a reverse direction for me.
Right.
So. Yeah. I'll have to find something up around Blossom and go grab some food around there.
I don't know. It's pretty much out in the woods up there.
Yeah, probably have to do either downtown Akron or like Fairlawn, something like that, and then head over to Blossom.
But yeah, that's true. Need to do a little research.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked for that show. I can't wait.
Yep. You did notice that they changed the time, right?
Yeah, aren't they an hour earlier?
Yeah, they're 7 o'clock now, which is better because not getting home at the crack ass of dawn.
Oh, dude, I got to drive out to work that day too. You know, I typically work from home and we have a quarterly meeting over that week. So I have to drive all the way out an hour and a half away and then come all the way back. And they're doing an outing where they're going to a tribe game at noon that day, which I'm not going to make. And so basically I'm driving out there to spend about 2 or 3 hours at work and then drive another hour back home and then go back out to go to Blossom.
Man, too bad you can't get a pass on that one.
I tried. I asked my boss. I'm like, I know we're supposed to be in the office, but I'm going to a show and it's a far drive to go all the way out and back. He's like, yeah, we'd really like you here. I'm like, all right, fine. I'll do it.
Oh, that sucks. I have a tribe game the night before, but I don't, 3 days in a row, I've got something going on. So
yeah, dude, I want to. Yeah, your birthday's right after that.
Yep, I got the Tribe game on that 24th, Foo Fighters show on the 25th, and then my birthday's on the 26th. So probably gonna need about 3 days to recover after all that stuff.
We doing Highly Suspect on the 27th?
I don't know.
I don't know if I want to go to that after. I would love to. I almost would rather go to that show than the Foo Fighters show, just because I've seen the Foo Fighters, I don't know, 6 or 7 times already.
Yeah. That'd be hard to convince my wife to go there instead of the Foo Fighters, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're in the seats, right?
Yes. Yeah, yep. We have pretty good seats. We're right behind the club level seats.
Yeah, we got pit tickets. I don't know how that's going to turn out. Hopefully there's not a lot of moshing going on, because my wife will have a heart attack.
Yeah. Oh, we can always take turns sitting in the seats.
That's what I said. I go, hey, Craig will go stand down in the pit with me. I think she'll be fine. She's been trying to back out of this show for the longest time. She didn't want to go because I got the pit tickets, but I told her, like, dude, I want to get as fucking close to Dave Grohl as possible. So we're doing the pit.
I don't think it'll be that rough. I mean, there might be some pushing and shoving, but I don't see it getting too out of hand.
Nah, I mean, I don't think so either. I don't know. I should bring a sign, tell him to get on the Podwacker show, do a special interview.
We should make a special t-shirt just for that, so you can throw it up on stage.
Oh my God, that'd be so awesome. Could you imagine?
You better put it on.
Oh my God, that'd be so good.
I doubt he would, but
no,
never. He lets people come up on stage and play guitar, so
yeah, but that's all like kind of prearranged, right? Like, you can't just let some dude come up there who has no idea how to play the guitar. He picks dudes who knows how to shred, so you know, you gotta get those.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't go off so well if you just kind of picked a bunch of random dudes and start pulling them on stage.
Yeah, right.
They did that at
somebody comes up there and all they can do is smoke on the water.
Yeah, except it's on an out of tune guitar and like the complete wrong chords.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a show at the Wolstein Center 1 year, and they were with Weezer, and Weezer had a dude come up and do like the same thing, and they played the Sweater song. The dude jammed out the Sweater song or something like that. It was pretty good. Yeah, I can't wait. They put on, what, like a 3-hour concert?
Oh, at least. I think the last time we saw them, it was right at 3 hours.
Yeah, and then you've got the Struts, I think, are opening that show.
Never heard of them.
Oh, really?
Nope.
I'm just going to look up and see here.
Not into my new music as much as I should be.
No, I asked you what you've been listening to, and you said Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
I'm old.
So, your ears and fingers are broken? Let's see. Here's their number one song on Spotify. I don't know if I've ever heard this. I don't know how they rated this, actually, because it's only got 680,000 plays. Two eyes like the sun. Go ahead, keep your distance from me. Soon you're gonna come. When you flick your head off, you don't care. And you're asking where I'm from. That game that you're running, baby, you've already won. I need to know, I don't think I've heard this, but it sounds pretty good. I could jam to that live.
Yeah, sounds like it'd be pretty good.
Yeah. I've listened to a few of their other songs. They're not too bad at all. And I've heard they're pretty good live, so I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Try and get there nice and early so I can get down front.
That's right. Just hopefully there's no 250-pound sweaty dudes crowd surfing over top you guys.
Oh, man, that's like the worst. That is the worst. Well, we went to Queens of the Stone Age a few years ago, and they played their whole first album front to back. And I went with my sister, and she you know, she's a girl, so like everyone got out of her way. So we walked right up to the front, and I was standing like, you know, 3 feet away from Josh Homme. It was awesome. Yeah, it was fucking amazing. And that dude's super tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only time I've ever been that close to a stage, I think, was for a Stone Temple Pilots show at Nautica in Cleveland.
Oh, man, that would have been a good show.
Got to give Scott Weiland a high five as he ran by the front of the stage, so.
Nice.
That's the closest we've got. Nice. And then my one buddy, we went to a Chris Cornell show when he was doing a solo show, and my buddy's a little bit shorter and smaller, and I, you know, my one friend, we refer to as Big T, threw him up on stage. And my buddy Mark ran over and gave Chris Cornell a high five when he was doing an acoustic set and then stage dived back into the crowd.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know, man. You pick all the concerts of the dudes who killed themselves, so hopefully that's not the case for the Foos.
Yeah, no. I don't think so.
I hope not. You never know. People are weird.
Yeah.
So I was digging through the news, and I came across this this story that's near and dear to my heart. The you know, the company that makes Roundup, Monsanto,
mm-hmm.
the M word, people freak out over Monsanto. So I guess there's hundreds of lawsuits that are claiming that their weed killer Roundup causes cancer. And San Francisco, a judge in San Francisco ruled that they can go ahead with a lawsuit against Monsanto for these. Which I thought was kind of interesting because there's been a little bit of consternation over the glyphosate, the active chemical ingredient in their product that mm-hmm. supposedly kills weeds. And they've been doing some studies and talking about, you know, if glyphosate actually does cause cancer or if it's something else or anything at all. And we're getting a lot of mixed reviews, which tells me I tend to lean on the side that I think it's probably bad for us. And I just don't trust the these chemicals are good for you, scientists. I just don't, for some reason. I find that to be a little odd. Like, how can you go spray a bunch of chemical crap on your food and then not expect that it causes some kind of repercussions in your body later on?
Well, not only that, Roundup, it kills stuff. I mean,
yeah.
What can be good about something that can turn weeds into dust?
That's what I said. Like, it was kind of interesting because the U.S. EPA, they say that it's probably or likely not a carcinogen, but the World Health Organization classifies glyphosate as probably carcinogenic, which I find that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the world seems to be way ahead of the United States on banning weird things in their food. Like, for instance, I recall like Kraft mac and cheese in Europe is not orange because cheese is not orange. I don't know if you people know this, but cheese is not orange. It doesn't come out of the cow orange. So something gets added to that to make it orange.
Yeah.
Which, you know, food manufacturers over the years, especially throughout the 80s and especially into the 90s, started really dyeing and chemically altering their foods to make them look more appealing to people. But you just look around and you see how unhealthy everyone is and just wonder to yourself, what is causing all these issues? I think part of it is we're eating so many chemicals that are just sprayed all over people's foods like it's no big deal. No one cares.
Yeah. But you brought up a good point about European countries. I know I spent a couple weeks in Germany for work one time for a training trip. And they were really big on the food and beverage purity laws over there. Like, you could have nothing artificial in your food over there. Like, you could go over there. This is how I proved it to myself. I went over there and I drank a shit ton of beer.
Mm-hmm.
But their beer was 100% You would almost could call it organic. They're not putting any preservatives, anything unnatural in that beer.
Yeah.
You could wake up the next day and you felt great. You would not have a hangover. And it was the weirdest thing ever. But you can come here and you can drink a couple cans of Budweiser or whatever the, you know,
middle
beer is. And you feel like absolute dog shit.
Yeah. I've said that for a long time. I really don't drink anymore because alcohol in general just bothers me. And I would say it's safe to say I'm allergic to it. So I really just try to avoid drinking. Every once in a great while, I'll have something, but any kind of alcohol, even if it's just like wine or something, it just really gets me. But if you drink like Bud Light and have a couple Bud Lights, man, I would feel like complete dog shit just drinking like three cans of Bud Light. And It was mostly, I think, because of the chemicals they put in it, because it's like got all this color added to it and just like fake stuff. And it just, you know, it's just kind of it, and it had an odd taste to me compared to some of the other like higher quality craft brews that you could get. And so I always just felt like they're putting a bunch of just shit in their beer, like filler crap. And I always felt miserable after drinking that stuff.
Oh, it's first sign of it's a bad reaction for me is just an unbelievably bad headache. There's some of those beers that don't bother me, but some of them just absolutely tear me up.
Oh yeah, dude. I agree completely. The other horrible sign of drinking that crappy beer is the next day when you wake up and get the natty splatties.
Been there a few times.
Yeah. So I found it quite interesting that, you know, they went ahead with this lawsuit because I feel like Monsanto has a lot of power and they get away with a lot because they have the resources to fight against these kinds of things. But I really think that people need to be more aware of what they're putting in their bodies and not be so ignorant to it. My wife was telling me the other day there was some health blogger who was saying that there's a conspiracy against health in this country, and that the new cry for the obesity epidemic is false, and that it's the government trying to distract you and all this stuff. And I said to her, I go, do a quick test. Go watch a live news footage clip from the 1980s, and then go watch one from today, and look at all the people in the background at a very public place, and you'll see people are fatter than ever. It is not fake. They are huge today. And she started laughing. She's like, I think you're probably right. Like, yeah.
Oh, she's absolutely right. Oh my God.
I don't believe that for one second. I think obesity is for real. I mean, you see how many fat motherfuckers are walking around here.
You don't even have to watch a news clip from the '80s and a news clip today. All you gotta do is go to Walmart and walk around for about 10 minutes. And that's all you gotta do is go to Walmart. Holy cow, dude. You got all these fat fucks riding around on electric carts.
Oops. Yeah, wearing their pajama pants to the store that are worn out at the feet.
Yeah. The pajama pants are sliding down a little bit, and they got the
plumber crack hanging out.
They got the blubber crack hanging out with the G-string pulled right up the middle of it.
I got a big brown dog barking at my back door.
So nasty.
Oh, dude, for sure. They're yeah, it's pretty disgusting, and I just can't believe the amount of people that let themselves get to that level. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. I'm no spring chicken, but I know my limitations.
Yeah, but I'd say you're still in the normal range. Like, there's people who are just out of control. It's huge.
Oh, yeah. There's guys that you see walking around. They probably haven't seen their dick in about 10 years, if more.
You're probably right about that. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it's pretty rough, man. Like, you got I mean, people are just putting all this crap in their bodies and they just don't even think twice about it. We actually, funny thing is, I just was doing a comparison the other day. I was telling my wife, we were driving down the street and there was a sign for McDonald's and they had like an ad for their iced coffee. And I'm a big advocate of drinking a lot of coffee. So I enjoy Starbucks probably way too much, but that's like the one thing that I drink and I know is usually I'll alternate a lot, like where I'll just get straight coffee of some kind, whether it's just a cold brew black or just regular coffee black or whatever. I'm a huge fan of their nitros. But I typically don't add stuff to it, but when I feel like it or when I'm on a kick, I'll add, you know, like some sweetener or something or other in it. Right. And it's just full of crap.
Right.
But that's usually like the only thing I eat that day or one of very, very few things I have that are bad overall. And so anyway, so I was telling her, I'm like, we're driving by this billboard for McDonald's iced coffee. And it was like, iced coffee, just $1. I'm like, oh man, wouldn't it be great if you could just get like a McDonald's iced coffee instead of Starbucks? It's like half the price. She's like, yeah, it would be. You should probably look up the ingredients though and see what's in it. I'm like, you know, that's not a bad idea. So I compare Starbucks iced coffee to McDonald's iced coffee. McDonald's iced coffee contains ingredients in there that are used to relieve constipation.
Wait, so, this was a Starbucks or
no, this is McDonald's? McDonald's puts an ingredient in there in their coffee that is used specifically to relieve constipation in a clinical setting.
Oh, shit!
Yeah. And so, and then I was reading an article about it, and somebody said, you know, they said, the people think they get diarrhea from the caffeine, but it's really because the coffee has an ingredient that gives them diarrhea. I couldn't believe it. And then I compared it to the Starbucks stuff, and really the Starbucks one, it had, you know, just like added like a sugar syrup kind of thing. And there were definitely some preservatives that were in there for sure. But it was also, you know, it was mostly normal, right? I mean, you kind of know you're getting junk when you go out to eat like at a place like that and put something in your drink, you're getting something kind of junky.
Right. I wonder what was the ingredient? Do you remember?
I just looked it up. It was sodium phosphate. It is used to treat constipation and to clean the bowels before surgery, x-rays, endoscopy, or other intestinal procedures. Sodium biphosphate and sodium phosphate enemas are also used as general care after surgery and help to relieve impacted bowels. Then the article says, doesn't it make sense now why so many people are complaining that McDonald's iced coffee gives them diarrhea?
Go and fucking take a shit!
Yeah, what? So, yeah, it all makes complete sense.
Well, isn't some people drink water with Epsom salt in it for a laxative. I wonder if sodium phosphate's, I'm sure it's one of the key ingredients in Epsom salt.
I don't know.
Look.
But then it also has like this whole other list of other things. Sodium polyphosphate, datum. I'm not sure how you say it. It's all caps. So I don't know if it's like an acronym. And it's, well, it is an acronym for diacetyl tartaric acid ester of monoglyceride. What? And then they have sodium sterol lactylate, tetrasodium pyrophosphate, sodium hexametaphosphate, sodium citrate. So think, all of those things are in your McDonald's coffee. That's just a coffee. It's fucking coffee. Like, yeah. What the hell?
I don't know how they get it in there. Because, I mean, if they're grounding coffee beans, they're adding all that shit after the fact.
This is the sweetener part, mostly.
Oh, see, I just drink it black.
Well, I do too, but not always, you know, once in a while I want like one as more of like a quote unquote dessert, you know? So it's like, okay, I'm going to add, you know, maybe caramel flavoring or something. And then a little cream sometimes, but I usually do drink it black, but I just thought it was funny because, it has premium roast coffee, but then all of the rest of the stuff in the iced coffee, which look at everyone's coffee, dude, they don't like coffee. As the Beastie Boys said, I like my sugar with coffee and cream.
That's right.
So, you know, it's definitely, you know, the vast majority of people are drinking it with all this crap in it. And it's like, no wonder you're, you know, 700 pounds, dude. Like, that's just your drink. Then what are you eating?
Yeah, maybe that's the balance that McDonald's is putting in there. They figure if they're going to put crappy food in your stomach, they need to find a quick way to get it out.
Yeah, we got to shoot it right out of you. Full speed. Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely. I just couldn't believe it. I used to drink those all the time when I was in college. I didn't even think twice about it.
I've never really put anything in my coffee. I've always pretty much just drank it black. So I guess I'm boring that way, but at least I'm not getting all that other shite.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting and extremely disgusting. And it kind of ties in with this Monsanto stuff. I feel like in the fact that, you know, it's just people are, they are happy to be oblivious to the things going on around them. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating in a way, because that's how you get into these situations, like with politics being how they are in the state that they are today, where everybody's like so on one side or the other side and no one wants to meet in the middle on anything. And then you have, I mean, there's literally no money in it for anybody if everybody works together. And so that's kind of the American way, is to try and drive as much profit out of driving a wedge between people as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why Trump is such a flaming idiot most of the times when he just speaks, because he's notorious for eating Doritos and eating Big Macs and just eating an unhealthy as crap.
I was watching a CNN clip of him the other day, and he was just doing like a, I forget if he was talking to NATO or it might not have been NATO. It might have just been something else. Anyway, he was giving a speech and he's standing at this podium. Dude, every time that guy talks, why does his mouth look like a moving butthole?
I don't know. I didn't focus in that closely when he talks. I don't listen to him talk very often. I try not to watch the news because it's just...
You got to watch a video of him talking, and like he like purses his mouth together and it just looks like a butthole. Like he just... It's all the shit he's getting ready to spew out of his mouth, I guess. I don't know.
The same thing with that. I don't know if we follow him on our Twitter account, but the CEO for T-Mobile, he always does these selfies where he's giving the fish lips. I don't know why he does that. That's crazy.
I don't know. That dude's a little out there.
Yeah, he is.
But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. Speaking of Trump and his favorite porn star, Stormy Daniels.
Oh.
Did you see she got arrested at an Ohio strip club?
Not until you mentioned it to me this morning.
Yeah, so apparently Ohio has some kind of strange law, and it's called the Community Defense Act. It bars any non-family members from touching a nude or semi-nude dancer. So... Mm-hmm. I guess somebody touched her while she was at the strip club in a non-sexual manner, and they arrested her. And the feeling, it seems like where there's smoke, there's fire. It seems like somebody was out to get her, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was kind of interesting. I don't know. I was reading some of the comments on this article, and they're kind of funny.
Well, I read the article quick this morning when you brought it up, and I obviously haven't had a chance to look up the law as it's stated, but is it that somebody else cannot touch the performer, or the performer cannot touch them?
It says that it bars any non-family members from touching a nude or semi-nude dancer.
So that could go either way.
Well, I don't know. If it's kind of light on the details, let's see. So if you look at, there's a series of tweets from her attorney. So it says, just received word that my client was arrested in Columbus, Ohio, while performing the same act she's performed across the nation at nearly 100 strip clubs. This was a setup and politically motivated. It reeks of desperation. We will fight all bogus charges. She was arrested for allegedly allowing a customer to touch her while on stage in a non-sexual manner. Are you kidding me? they're devoting law enforcement resources to sting operations for this, there has to be higher priorities. We expect her to be released on bail shortly. We also expect that she will be charged with a misdemeanor for allowing touching. We will vehemently contest all charges. So it sounds like somebody did touch her, which is interesting, because why would she be in trouble for someone touching her? The person who touched her should be in trouble, right?
Right. I mean, that's not that I know a lot about the rules of these clubs. But that's really the general rule.
I thought you were the strip club connoisseur.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you are on this show. I've never been to one.
20-some years ago, maybe. But, I mean, the general rule of thumb is you don't touch anybody that's performing. So, and it's like everybody follows that rule. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I'm sure in some of the nicer, more upscale joints, upscale in air quotes, you know, they're probably doing a lot more than touching.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't understand it. It does sound like she was kind of getting set up, and I just thought it was funny it had an Ohio tie where she was at a strip club in Columbus, and, you know, boom, she gets nailed.
I think it's interesting the way that law reads is I wouldn't want to step 10 feet from a club where her family members were there doing that, because that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's just bizarre. I just don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, clearly they were after her because this stuff goes on all the time, I'm sure. And I'd love to see the numbers, you know, people who touch dancers and then get arrested versus the times that this actually goes into effect. I bet it's once, you know. So I don't know. And then I was just reading the comment section, and it's just funny how many people just like blindly like fight at each other over whose side is right. And it's like, no one's winning in this. You guys are a bunch of dumbasses.
Right. I mean, usually the way that goes in a club like that is if you touch one of the performers and they complain to one of the bouncers or one of the security guards, you get a warning. You do it again, you're out. Nobody's getting arrested. And if you're drunk and belligerent, the worst thing is you probably get your ass beat out in a parking lot. I just would like to see the numbers of how much money's being spent to put up a sting operation like that. You know that I doubt they have Secret Service following her around because of all of the stuff that came out earlier, but mm-hmm. You know that there's been some direct order from some level of law enforcement to put somebody on a case like that, especially if it is a sting operation. How many thousands of dollars that they're wasting just to get that arrest, just to humiliate her and make her look like a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know, man.
Scum!
Wait, you go. I gotta get it in every show. That's my favorite.
You know, Alex Jones has never been to said club before, done anything like that.
Oh, I think Alex Jones probably lives at said club. I think quite the opposite. I think that dude's probably like hopped up on all sorts of drugs and goes to the strip club quite frequently. That would be my guess.
I would go as far as to say he probably fathers his children in places like that.
I would go as far as to say he probably supports the abortion laws as they are today in secret. That's what I would say.
Oh my God.
That guy's a raging lunatic.
Yeah, he is a raging lunatic.
These are people that had gay sex hundreds of times in coffins.
And he would know.
Murder the Christians.
Oh, man.
And giant pits of feces.
Wait.
I like to eat. I like to fight, too.
I love it. That dude's awesome.
Here, one more before we get off Alex Jones.
Sell the baby parts. Arrest the reporters that exposed for keeping babies alive.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That dude, he's something else.
Here comes a meat wagon.
Yeah. He's on one. But yeah, I just, I find it completely fascinating that she she got busted for that. It seemed a little over the top.
Nobody anywhere's ever been arrested for that. I can almost guarantee it, unless it resulted in a fight or altercation or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So another interesting high-profile person who was in some trouble was Mr. Papa John.
So, oh.
Yeah, so...
what did Papa John do?
Well, Papa John apparently likes to use the N-word at work, which I don't think is a good idea.
No, so, not when you're the founder and CEO of one of the largest pizza chains in the country.
Yeah, I think he currently, well, as of when this happened, I don't think he's a CEO anymore. I think he stepped down from that last year after he was talking about how the NFL cost them a bunch of money for their handling of the kneeling situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he was actually just like chairman at this point. But yeah, I guess he used some colorful language on a conference call with a marketing company when they were talking about kind of how they were going to prevent public relations crises, which I thought was kind of funny. So I guess he says, Colonel Sanders called blacks enners. He said, complaining that Sanders never received backlash. I'm not quite sure what this had to do with anything. There's not a whole lot of context to what he was talking about. This was just them on a conference call with a laundry service, which is a marketing firm.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of, I guess, something that he said on the call, and people were very offended, which, I mean, I feel like I'd be kind of offended by that, or just at least, I guess offended's the wrong word because I'm not black, so I find it hard to be offended by the N-word because, I mean, but I can be disgusted by it. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I think people go out of their way to be quote-unquote offended, and, you know, I just, I personally would say offended isn't the right term if you're a white person when that happens, but you can definitely be taken aback and shocked.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I didn't read far enough into the part where you said that he referred to Colonel Sanders as saying that.
Yeah.
So not only has he used the N-word on a conference call, offended a bunch of people, had to step down as chairman, but he's also... He could also be liable for saying something that, you know, was never said on the side of another food chain or anything like that. So, I mean, he could be facing a lot more trouble than just what having to step down. I mean, he still owns the company. Big deal. You're right.
Yeah, but he's their largest shareholder. He has 29%.
Right. So, I mean, he could be facing even more backlash from KFC for putting something like that coming out if it didn't really ever happen or was documented.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, if Colonel Sanders is, like, a real person. Do you know?
God, I don't know.
I'm kind of assuming... Yeah, I'm kind of assuming they created the new, like, current-day Colonel Sanders character based off of a real Colonel Sanders at some point in time who may or may not have started KFC. Shit, man, mm-hmm. I should hit up the Wikipedia for KFC. But yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah, he was an American entrepreneur and businessman. Colonel Harland David Sanders, September 9th, 1890 to December 16th, 1980. Damn, he lived a long time.
Yeah, right through the heart of the civil rights movement. So, I mean, it could have happened.
Yeah, he actually started, he did start KFC.
Hmm. The Colonel's Secret Recipe.
Yeah. And his title was honorary. He was a Kentucky colonel, not a military colonel.
So he was a militia dude, yeah. Backwards colonel.
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And, of course, he looks just like the dude on the bucket of chicken.
Wow. That's crazy.
Wow, he died from pneumonia and leukemia.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Wikipedia. I'm not going to draw any correlations here, but I don't know if even know if I should go down this tangent, but you, Papa John guy uses the N-word. He claims that Colonel Sanders used the N-word and nobody ever said anything, but would you say he died in 1960?
No, 1980.
1980. But still, I mean...
He was born in 1890, though.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, you got to put that in context. Like, I don't know what Papa John's point is, but this dude was alive when I mean, just after the Civil War.
I mean, the Civil Rights Movement and people from the Deep South at that point in time, even through, like, all the way up through the 60s, they were dropping the N-word like it was their job. It was okay for them to say that, at least from their perspective. So,
oh, yeah, right, exactly. That's kind of my point. Like, the time period that Colonel Sanders grew up in, it was perfectly acceptable to use the N-word. And not that that was right, but that's how it was at that time. And so I don't know really what Papa John's point is. But I don't really have much context to that conversation and why he even says that in the first place. Mm-hmm. It, you know, in the article that I was reading, it just basically says that he apologizes for what he said, and then it goes on to say, like, his statement, and that was it. So I'm not quite sure where he was going with that or why he even brought that up. So to be fair to him, I don't know what the context of the conversation was. But at the same time, like, you just don't even have to say the word. And so guessing he, like, full-on said it, right? And you can do like I did and just abbreviate. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the other part of this issue we should talk about is what's your feeling on black people using it?
No, I mean... It's not an okay word, in my opinion, for really anybody to say. But there is a double standard there where they use it in a different context, I think, especially in the music.
I think they do as well. I think the context is different. However, I think if you don't want people to use it, don't use it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, I agree with that.
Like, I don't understand that. You know, if you don't want white people saying it specifically, or any other race for that matter, but mostly specifically white people. You don't want white people saying the N-word, right? Don't put it in your music. Because guess who's most likely buying and listening to your music? There's a pretty good chunk of white people who are. I mean, let's be real. And and if you don't want them to say and use that kind of language, then don't say and use that kind of language. You just kind of try and use it as a way of, I feel like, holding something over white people for things that they had done in the past, which it's just not fair to the present day people.
Right.
You know, and the people who are consuming your music who are white obviously don't have a problem with black people.
Right. And I don't listen to that. I don't listen to those genres of music much anymore nowadays, but when you're coming right out of high school and you're a teenager, I mean, that was the shit back in the day, to be completely honest. NWA and some of those other groups.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, 100%. And today, I mean, you still have, you know, a ton of hip-hop that totally relies on that word, you know, and, like, it's the names of songs and things. Like, what do you expect? I just don't get it. It's such a double standard that, like, and they know it's a double standard. It's not a secret, you know?
No. I mean, they'll blatantly come out and say it's okay for me to say it, but not you.
Yeah, and to some degree, I'm like, okay, that's fine. I understand that. But in another sense, I also think that if you really want, you know, kind of want racism to go away and you want these things, you can't have double standards then, you know? Like, if you truly want it to end and you don't want to have to worry about it anymore, and your goal is we want to be equal as everybody else, right? And we want everyone to view each other as equals, then don't create things artificially that make boundaries.
Yeah, I completely agree. Stop using the term. If you want people to stop using it, quit glorifying it. Quit using it in your lyrics. Quit using it to refer to other people of your culture. Just stop.
Yeah, and the other sad reality is the people who are using that term in the rap music and the images that they're putting out, you know, they put out images of like the gangster culture and, you know, being in gangs and being, you know, in that thug life, you know, mm-hmm. drugs, women, money, like, you know, and then they go and use that term. So it still casts like a derogatory context to the average person who isn't involved in that, you know? So like subconsciously when you're saying those things and then the rest of your lyrics are about all the bitches and hoes you're going to sleep with or you're going to hit or whatever in this case, you know, you're still casting that, you know, that word still goes hand in hand with those things and those things are bad. And so you're not really giving that word any good meaning at all. It still has a negative connotation, even in the context that you're using it as a term of endearment.
Yep, exactly.
So that's the thing I just don't understand. And I wish it would just go away because I feel like you give people rope, they'll hang themselves with it. And there are people stupid enough, as you can see, Papa John walking out there and just using the word like no big deal. You cannot use that word, white people. You're not allowed. Like, just don't do it.
Especially when you're as white as Papa John. It's about the whitest white dude you'll see. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. So, yeah, if it were my decision, I would. If I were consulting your firm, I would strongly advise do not use the N-word. Like, you're going to get yourself in some deep shit.
Well, the whole controversy around Roseanne, and she didn't even use that word. She used derogatory terms to...
She called a woman a monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't use the N-word. She called her a monkey is what she did.
Yeah, and she got eviscerated over that. I mean, this guy is in deep enough trouble for using the actual N-word, but there's so many cases where you don't even have to say it. And
yeah, I mean, we're in a super PC era right now, and it's definitely interesting. I mean, I'm really curious to see how this ends up. You know, I feel like the pendulum swung from the 90s up to now. So you were in the 90s, and everything was kind of like no holds barred, and shit was crazy. Like, I just remember watching TV and it was like, you know, you had Jerry Springer on, you had like crazy WWE, you know, all that shit was going on. And then all of a sudden, you know, it swung in the other direction where everything's like trying to be so sanitized. And like, you can't even be funny anymore. Comedians are getting like just destroyed for trying to make funny comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't have any shows like that anymore. I don't think anyways, Jerry Springer and Geraldo. I mean, Geraldo had that famous episode that you can still watch on YouTube where they had the neo-Nazi white supremacist on there that started a freaking riot right in his studio and got smashed in the face from a chair getting thrown.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, the point of the 90s was to rile people up as much as possible. And they did a good job. but yeah, like, you just think about the culture that was going on and there was a huge movement there, and now it's swung back the other direction completely. So it's kind of interesting to see, you know, at this point, how we've come so far in the other direction. But I don't know, man.
Social media is a huge part of that. I mean, there's every last word you say is out there for mass consumption. So, I mean, in the 90s, it was just getting started, right? MySpace was coming out, but
yep.
It's a whole nother level now. If you don't want something taken out of context, and it doesn't matter what it is, you probably shouldn't put it on social media because somebody somewhere is going to interpret your words the way they want to interpret them. And it doesn't matter what your true meaning was. They're going to blow it out of proportion and take it for what they value those words for and not what you actually meant.
Yeah. It's really fascinating. Like, everything's under a microscope too. And then you get on like platforms like Twitter where you had like that, you know, character limit on how many characters you could even put in a tweet. And then you're trying to get your thoughts out. I mean, how easy is it to be misconstrued you know, in so few words. You know, you only have so many options for things you can even say. I don't know. I just don't understand why people would volunteer to put this shit on the internet. I really don't.
Yeah, and there's times where I want to respond to something that somebody says, but you find yourself analyzing your thoughts before you actually put it on there, because you ask yourself, how is somebody going to interpret this? How is somebody going to, what is somebody's reaction going to be when they read this? I mean, you know, what is your desired reaction and what's actually going to happen?
Yeah. And then you have, you know, the, you know, you have people when they say these things, you know, you like, you know, you start really filtering your thoughts before you even get them out, which is a really good exercise for when you're in the corporate world. So, I mean, it has some benefit to it. If you're smart, you know, you think about, when I send this tweet, how's this going to reflect upon me later on? And what's the ramifications of me saying these things? Because, yeah, of course, I would love to get on the internet and just talk shit to people constantly because they're stupid. You know, I love to seek out the morons on the internet and then say something. But A, it doesn't change their opinion. B, you look like an idiot. And C, you could probably get fired for whatever stupid comment you're going to make. So is it worth losing your job over some moron droll on Twitter? No, not at all.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because there's cases now where shit like this is said online, especially on Twitter, and the wrong person comes across it and they start trolling you. And even if it's a burner account, these people are going to great lengths to find out who said it, what it was said, and then they just put these people under the bus and run over them back and forth and try to get them fired, try to get them in the spotlight for what they said, and just basically publicly humiliate them. And
yeah, I don't know what that, I don't know what the fascination is with that. You gotta think about this. Like, people are out to get other people fired from their jobs, ruin their lives, I mean, ruin their family. Like, why would you want that to happen to somebody unless they really did something legitimately horrible to you? I don't still understand that mentality. Why would you want to get somebody fired and have them lose their job and be on hard times and have their kids struggle and they have to go on like food stamps or something for a few months while they try and find another job? Like, why would you do that to somebody?
Yeah.
I mean, they'd have to say something pretty nasty to me to get to that point.
Yeah. I've seen instances where it's just their public opinion on a political issue or situation. They speak their mind about it, and the other side just slashes back, and it's just brutal.
Yeah, I mean, we're almost creating a very odd dichotomy with the ability to have free speech, but at the same time, trying to walk that line of how free is your speech, because it's not. Like, you really don't have free speech. You have the freedom to say whatever the fuck you want, but you don't have the freedom from it. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can say it, but the repercussions could be huge.
Right.
You know, you're not going to get in trouble for saying things. You know, the thing you say itself is not what gets you in trouble. It's how other people interpret the thing that you said and the companies that you work for and,
right,
you know, all of those kinds of things. So people really need to assess that when they start talking. And, you know, you and I, especially now that we started this show, kind of have to be a little careful sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be one thing if we were doing this as a full-time job. This is a hobby. And so if it, you know, you could say something and somehow it gets traced back to us and boom, you're in big trouble.
Yeah. I mean, if and when things progress and if this moves past just the hobby stage, yeah, there's this stuff is going to be out there forever now, what we say. So even though there's not a lot of consumption now, if there is at a later point in time, there are people that will go to great lengths to go back to where things started just to try to dig something up. So you always got to be mindful of that for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, you know, I think if you listen long enough, you'll understand that you and I are both just goofy people with stupid toilet humor. And that's what we do. And we're not out to hurt anybody. So, you know, I think that's kind of the other side of the coin people don't look at is, you know, what's your intent with what you're saying? You know, are you saying something and it just got taken out of context, or were you really trying to hurt somebody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm guilty of throwing stuff out there with not harmful intentions, but intentions of pissing somebody off. But
yeah, I like to say funny, really sarcastic, mean things, but it's to be funny. It's not really with the intention of making you feel bad.
Right.
You know, it's more just being a dork, like saying something really horrible just because. It's like, okay, let's just see. It's almost entertainment to me to see what kind of horrible thing can I say that's still like really clever and funny. You know what I mean? So it's almost to entertain myself and not even anything against the person that you're saying it to.
Yeah. And those, the Twitter trolls are the fun. They're the most entertaining because even something as simple, I can't remember. This has been a couple weeks ago, but I threw out a comment. I think it might be in something Stephen A. Smith said, or maybe it was Skip Bayless. I don't remember, but I was like, they made a stupid comment about something. And my only reply on the thread was, and does anyone really care? And then this jackass comes behind it on Twitter, who's reading the thread, and says, probably more people than your 17 followers on Twitter. And I got into this argument with this guy over something just that simple.
Yeah, exactly. People love to stir up the controversy, and they like to get in there and start like running their mouths. And it's like, what a simple comment you made. You know, that's the difference between, I guess, me particularly and most people, is I read that comment online and I laugh at it and I think about how I could say something really nasty to you, and then I just move on about my day. I never actually do it.
Right.
And then you get the other people who get hooked in, and then boom, there they go.
Yeah. It's something I would read, I would laugh at, and move on. It's not something that I would take the time to construct an argument with or come up with some kind of comment to throw it back at the person.
Yeah. Well, that was funny because, you know, I was on there too the one day, and I said there was some Trump story, and I commented on it, you know. Oh, it was something about Trump was saying something ridiculously false as usual. Just a complete blatant lie. He like tweeted it or something. And I responded to his tweet like, yeah, listen to the source. You can't trust that fake news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something to that effect. And, being sarcastic, basically saying like, oh, I'm supposed to trust this douchebag to say something like legitimate. And then I had somebody on there who's like, you can't be serious right now. And then we take it down I go down the rabbit hole with that guy for a while. And then at the end, I'm like, dude, I'm totally just screwing with you. I didn't have the heart to just leave him hanging. It's like, yeah, I'm just messing with you, dude. Like, I don't believe this guy. Not for 2 seconds.
Yeah. You're more thoughtful than I am, because I usually either try to end it abruptly or leave them hanging.
I should have. It doesn't really matter, but yeah, I don't know. It's just, you got the internet trolls out there in full swing as usual.
People just get too butthurt over everything.
Yeah. Butthurt's the right term. I think Alex Jones always says it best.
I'm an Ellie. Yeah.
As crazy as that is, though, he's right.
He's right.
He is. There's lots of Nellies out there.
That's right. Yeah. So I don't know, man. We live in a strange time right now with the internet and people trying to figure out how to use it without completely douching themselves over. Well, I think that's probably going to do it for today. You got anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I don't. I think I am ready for some breakfast.
I am too, man. Man's got to eat.
A man does have to eat.
You know, I could always go for some bacon and eggs, man. You're supposed to roll the Tourette's guy.
Yeah. I think the only two things that are not on my menu today are KFC and Papa John's. So,
what are you talking about, dude? I think that'd be the only two things I'm gonna eat today.
$500 for the whole set.
That's right.
If those are the only two things I eat today, I'm gonna make sure I go to McDonald's to get a caramel frappe. That way, I can evacuate it as quickly as possible.
Yeah, dude, you can eat your Papa John's, your KFC, and have a nice, good side of diarrhea with that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's diarrhea no matter how you dice that one up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%.
Shit!
So, So, all right. Well, I think that wraps it for this week. We'll catch you guys next time.
All right, motherfuckers, the show is over. Subscribe to our show anywhere you get your podcasts, and do not forget to follow us on Twitter at Prodwackers or on Instagram at Prodwackers. And remember, every time you yawn, there is a ghost trying to put his wiener in your mouth. See you next time.